So anyways, our sermon text is Romans chapter 10. We're going to read verses, what we call 8b through 15, reading this in Jesus' name. 8b through 15. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believeth in him will not be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak and men and flesh would be silent. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth because, Father, we know there is no truth outside of your word. We ask it in his name. Amen. It's kind of an interesting text when you look at this. It's kind of interesting because it talks about something at the very end that really not many of us would really appreciate. And I can't help but think of my sister Nancy Erickson every time I read this scripture, because she can't stand feet. Have you ever looked at feet and thought, how beautiful are feet? It's not generally what you say to someone when they come to take your photograph. Hold on, let me get my feet in there. They're just wonderful. But really, it's an interesting thing because the feet that he speaks about is the motion of the church. It is the motion of the word. That God has given us his word and sent us out as ambassadors to preach that word. Where will these feet bring you? And that to me is very, very powerful. Whether we're here or whether we're in the mission field or wherever we may be, that we carry that light of the gospel. We carry that hope. And I'll tell you, maybe sometimes we don't, as I even joked with, appreciate feet all the time. But try to go a day without them. It's very difficult. And it's hard to carry on. And so you even break a toe and you feel, wow, the whole body is hurting because of this. You can't walk right, you can't do anything. But really now, what Paul is trying to encourage Rome with is the understanding of what Christ Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And so he basically comes across in this way, you know, basically talking about the fact of now we know the word of God. It dwells within us. He's given us this word. He says this word, he says that we encourage everybody with, carrying this gospel, it's there. He says it's in your very mouth. He says, in your mouth, and actually, you carry it in your heart. In other words, inward belief, inward understanding. Why do we share the gospel? Because it so impacted us. God had shown his love for each and every one of us so greatly. So we share what we have received. That's what we're doing when we're in Mexico. We're just sharing what has been given for that purpose. Well, God has given us his word for that purpose, that we could share it with the world around us, that we could encourage them, that we could encourage you, that it would encourage me. You know? And so, really, you come across in this fashion of saying, now you have this. He says, the word is the word of faith that we proclaim. Paul's saying, we brought it to you, and now you bring it to them. You continue on in this. He says, for really, he said, we understand and know this. This is not a logical thing. You know, human beings, we like to be logical. We like to try to figure everything else. But we are not children of logic. The scripture never says that. Oh, you are children of logic. It says you're children of faith. You're saved by grace through faith. And so he says, now we basically come down to this, that if you now, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, what? You'll be saved. This is the new covenant. This is the proclamation of the church, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that he went to the cross, and that he paid the sin debt for the entire world. But sometimes I think we get so busy just looking at everything else. It's kind of interesting because with the Sunday school kids today, I did a little object lesson. Do you guys remember what it was about? What was the main object lesson? What was used for it? Pennies. I had a handful of pennies. Handful of pennies. Some were okay, some were pretty grungy. And I took kind of a little shinier one out and I held it up and I said, what do you think of this one? And they're like, they were really impressed. I got like a penny's worth of appreciation. Then I pulled out a dirty one and I asked Chakea, I said, what do you think of this one? She's like, it was really grungy. I said, do you want to put it in your mouth? No. I said, if you had to, which one would you put in your mouth if you had to? And she obviously picked the cleaner one. I said, but let me ask you a question, and now I'm going to ask you. Pretend I have a really dirty, crusty penny, and I have a brand new, shiny one. Which one's worth more? They're worth the same. And my object lesson to the kids is that we're all different. We all come from different walks, but we all have the same value in the eyes of God. It's very important to understand. Then I did something a little more crazy. I don't know why I thought of this last night. I took a little baggie and I took a penny and I threw it in the baggie and I put ketchup in there. Psh, left it overnight. It was a grungy old penny. Then I showed the kids. I said, now this is a little different, but this is, what do you think's in the bag? And they got it. They said ketchup. I said, so I want you to think about it. It's like the blood of Christ. And so I pulled the penny out and took paper towel and they couldn't believe that. I even got oohs and ahs out of that one penny. That was really a penny's worth because it was so shiny. This is what Christ does for all of us. This is what Paul is trying to tell us. That, you know, he came and he gave his life for each and every one of us. And then he shares with us that we are to enter into this world proclaiming this good news, this gospel. So no matter where you are, no matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are, no matter how smart you are, you could be a rocket scientist or you could be like me and just be a preacher. We all are valuable in the eyes of God. You know, because sometimes we think that too. Well, you know, pastor, he's got to be really valuable to God. We're all valuable to God. He loves us. It doesn't say, for God so loved some. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those children got it. I pray that we get it because Paul is telling us very straightforward that now this is the message that we've declared to you. And if you trust in the message that has been handed down, he says, you will be saved. What more is there? Ultimately, it's like I was having a conversation with an individual and so a while ago, but basically I had talked about the fact that, well, you know, all of us eventually will die. And the guy said to me, well, don't lay that on me. I'm not. And I chuckled and I said, well, how many people do you know that are 120 years old? I mean, granted, we might have some on the book somewhere, but how many? He couldn't name one. I said, how many do you know personally that are even 100 years old? I actually did know somebody that was 101. Not many. So it doesn't seem that any of us are going to get out of this life alive unless Christ comes beforehand. So the fact of it is that, you know, we all will leave this earth. But in this message, do we know that we have eternity to gain? And that's really what he wants us to say, to understand, to proclaim, that, you know, if you trust, in other words, you speak that confession of faith and you trust in your heart by that grace that's been given to you by God the Father, he says, you're okay. You'll be saved. The question of it is do we represent that in this world? And sometimes I have to ask myself that question. Do I live as a redeemed child of God? And it's not just in the fact of these earthly do's and don'ts that we often like to put out. It actually means, do I live in the confidence of Jesus' finished work in my life? But no matter what situation I'm in, that the devil in reality has no claim on me. Do I live more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? See, this world puts a lot of opposition on you. The world puts a lot of detriment in saying, you got to achieve this, 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 and then you'll become something. Reality is, Scripture says you are something. Therefore, he came for you. You're valuable. And some people could say, well, this is a prosperity gospel, isn't it? Well, I guess if you want to think about it that way, but I'm not saying you're going to be rich. But in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we will prosper. We will do well, and we will gain eternity. Because this life can have its challenges, as we even pray about today. There is challenges all around us. He says, so if you believe, he says, you will be saved. He says, because really, he says, when the heart receives this message, when one believes, they are justified. It's not about 10 steps. It's not about 7 steps to perfect living. When we come to the understanding of Christ Jesus and him crucified, we are justified. That's something that I don't think we receive so well. You know, do you know that you are made right before God? In the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are made right. You are just standing there. Of your own self, no, we'd fail each and every time. But this is what God has seen in us, in that crusty, dirty penny. And he gave his son to make us shine. He's the light that lights all men. That's exactly what the scripture says. And so he brings this out in a very powerful way that if we but trust, he says, then we are justified. He says, and now being justified, there is a response to that, that we can't help but proclaim. To proclaim that goodness of God. He says, so with the mouth we shall confess. He says, for the scripture says very plainly, everyone, doesn't say some, everyone who believes shall be saved. You know, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. I should have printed this out bigger. My eyes must be getting bad. These are brand new glasses, so I can't blame that, can I? Okay. She just gave them to me last week. But anyways, this is really what it brings out. He says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. I was talking to the kids about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. How do we take shame? You know, we take shame as like being embarrassed. You know, my clothes aren't good enough, this or that. But really it says, if you trust in what Jesus proclaims, if you trust in that message, that gospel message that's come to this earth, he says, you will not be let down. We should celebrate that. That we would not be let down. Because God is faithful and God is true. So he will carry us through these times in our life. And there is difficulty. There's no way around it. We know that. But our salvation is secure in him. And so he says very plainly in that fashion that, you know, if you turn around and you proclaim, if you believe, you will not be let down. He says, because there's no distinction. It's not about what race you are. It's not about, in reality, whose boy you are, what church you attend. Now, granted, there is true doctrines and there's false doctrines. But what the reality is, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? He says there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. We know during this time there was a big distinction among men in this area. There was. An Israelite would never be caught in a Gentile's home. But when we see the gospel come, we see that they do. Under the command of the Lord, where even that word is given even to Peter, what I call clean, do not call unclean. Very powerful message that God delivers. He says there is no distinction. In the coming of Jesus Christ, we are all the children of God. We have a tendency as human beings want to separate in certain areas, right? We separate according to what congregation we go to, even in our group. Or we separate according to what apostolic church you may belong to. Or we separate whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic. That's often those comfort zones that we feel. But the reality of it is all of that is foolishness. Do you know Jesus Christ and Him crucified? For Paul says, I know nothing else. That is our message. And so he says very plainly, there's not a distinction there. He says, the same Lord is Lord of all. Of all. Bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. That's really the essence of that gospel message. Enter out into this world, proclaim the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of that body for each and every one of us. That we proclaim that message to a fallen world, that we would believe in it. And by that same Spirit, when we believe in that message, we are redeemed. We are made just before God. It's not about what Grandpa thought. It's not about what Dad thought. As hard as that is for us to hear, it is about what God has done and continues to do in and through Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting because we do see a lot of division, especially when we start talking about different denominations and things. That to me is just interesting because that seems like the foolishness of men. You know, why would we divide over things that are supposed to draw us together? I don't have full understanding of a lot of things within churches, but the fact of it is, if they proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone as your salvation, I have no problem with them. Now, there are issues within groups. We have issues within our own if we want to admit it or not. There are some that believe if we personally don't lay hands on somebody, then they're not in. Or if they don't confess in the right way, they're not in. I'll leave them to argue with God on that. But the reality of it is that we are to enter into this world and proclaim. There's different groups that believe if you don't speak in tongues in a certain way, then you don't have the Spirit. Okay? I'll let them argue with God on that. It's just very interesting. There's some that believe if you don't go to their physical building, you're not going to be saved. Because that's the true kingdom. I can understand how a person can go down that road because there is one kingdom. It is the body of Christ. But sometimes we bring that to a building. But those things aren't worth arguing over. Really, what he brings out here, very straightforward, and it's not me speaking it, it's Paul speaking in a very bold way. He says, for with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. Doesn't say about all the other things. Other things are important. Absolutely. We know that oftentimes churches will divide over baptism. But you know, is it really worth dividing over all of those things? God will speak. I personally, as a Lutheran pastor, very much believe in infant baptism. I do. You know that. I've confessed that to you on many occasions. And I'm not turning from that. Why? Because I go as simple as this. The sign of the old covenant was circumcision. It was done within 8 days. On the 8th day, they were circumcised. It wasn't about what the child could do. It was about the promise of God. So therefore, my conviction is that we are not to do something for God. God does it for us. But I would never condemn anybody for withholding that. So these are things that Paul really kind of brings out. He brings out the aspect, it is that word of faith that moves everyone. He says, basically, after there's no distinction, everyone that calls on the Lord will be saved. He said, but how are they going to call? How are they going to call on someone that they don't believe? In other words, we sometimes enter into this world or will I'm going to be blunt, go to a different area where there's different understandings, and we think, well, they should be right where I am. Well, what if they haven't heard? And I'm saying this even not just about the world, but even, say, congregations that deliver nothing but a tradition in messages. This is what they know. The importance is that word would get out there. That we would understand and know that Christ came for all. And that, yes, there's beautiful traditions. There's beautiful things that we can do. But tradition of itself will never save you. Man's tradition will not save you. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that atoning death, that in reality is the payment for our sin debt. And when we cling to that, he says, you're in. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could actually enter into this world and actually be convinced that people are saved and let them prove themselves innocent? Instead of walking in this world and saying they need to prove themselves saved? It's like going to a convention one time, I told you. I went there and I decided everybody at the convention is going to be my friend. So I went around and I was friendly to everybody. You know, it was the best convention I ever went to. Because my attitude changed. My attitude changed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a lot of people that are trapped in false doctrines. There's a lot of people that are trapped in worldly beliefs. There's a lot of people that are trapped in basically humanism. But if they don't know anything else, how are they going to change? Church is important. It's extremely important. Church, we have fellowship. I think that's huge. Church, we come here and we worship and we sing praises. We do things that some people agree with and we do some things that people don't agree with. But church is ultimately about preaching of the word. That is its main point, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if people don't know it, then how in reality will they be saved? It's not about preaching tradition. It's not about just preaching old sermons that were archived because you believe in an individual. It's not about listening to just one individual like a pope and say, this is where everything's going to come from. It is a living word that speaks to us each and every day. It's not about the tradition of men. And so he comes very forward and he says, you know, in all of this, he says, how will they call on the one whom they have not believed? And then he says, and how are they to believe in him who they've never heard? He says, and how are they here without preaching? That's the emphasis in church. To preach that word, to teach that word, to encourage people. You know, I guess if I could put it very simply, it's like John the Baptist on steroids. Behold the Lamb of God who takes your sin debt, takes the sin of the world. Look to Jesus. It's not about what I think. And oftentimes as puppies, we get up here and we say, oh, this is what I think. And then sometimes you'll hear me say, who cares what I think? It's about what the Word says. And as simple as we can get it, to break it down to that very essence, God loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his son. That if you but trust in him, he will give you eternal life. He did not send his son here to create all kinds of religions or to cut you off or, as the scripture says, to condemn the world. But rather, he sent his son that it would be saved through him. You are a child of a king. And there are a lot of wayward children out there. But what good is it if we don't share the message that they can have that hope? He says, how will they hear if they're not sent? That really struck me with this mission field. You know, I'm not going to become one of those zealous missionaries and always talk to you about it, but right now it's fresh in my mind. That these people had a love for Jesus. These people had encountered, I'm going to say it very plainly, people from this congregation that had shared it with them. That's how it grows. It's not Zion. It's God. It's the body of Christ. And we are all instruments within that body. Each and every one of us has a different gift. That's what Paul is trying to encourage Romans about. It is important to stay on task. Preach the word. Preach the word. He says, how will they know if they don't hear? And how will they hear if they are not sent? You know, send them. Encourage them. Look on the back of our bulletin. There's many that we support. But you're sent. All of us have been commissioned that we are to enter into this world and love. Love the people. Love one another. Encourage them. Doesn't mean you have to go through 4 years of seminary. Doesn't mean you have to do all this. Doesn't even mean you have to go in the mission fields. But to understand and know that where you are today, you can share the love of God with somebody. And every one of you has a unique gift. Every one of you. Where you will be able to reach somebody that I can't reach, that Mark can't reach, any other preacher can't reach. You have been called for a purpose. To share the love of God. And that's what he says. What good is it if they don't know? How can they hear if there's not preaching? How can they preach if they're not sent? And then that's where he leaves his verse. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our feet, and I'm saying as believers, are anointed. We have the ability as believers in Christ Jesus to share the gospel, whether it be here in this building, whether it be on the job site, in the store, or whether we're a guest at any other church. It's not about tradition. It's about the love of God. And today we are coming forward to participate on that. That we are going to receive of the body and blood of Christ. And the one thing that makes me encouraged even for today, those that have gone on before are present on the other side of the altar. Receiving the same body. So may we be encouraged. May we be in fellowship. And may we rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ. For God's name's sake. Amen.